Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. This is a song that I'm currently working on, and nobody else has ever heard it before. I call it workout music because it's about 20 minutes long, and it's done that way on purpose. It's called workout, where you work on out with your body. You work up and down, you walk up and down, you exercise. But it's got all kinds of tones that also works out different parts of your electromagnetic sphere and your brain. The ocean, by the way, does a trip on your body, the sounds of the ocean. I'm trying not to. Anyway, after the show, I have another show coming up called The Cosmic Spaceship. And that would be me. And it's going to be, it's a completely different thing in what I'm doing here. I do, gardening and so forth here. Today we're going to be talking more about bricks, the refractometer. But this show is called The Cosmic Spaceship for a reason. And it's I play my music, which is very spacey. As it is, I'm working on right now on, I think I'm doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs right now. One's called Healer, which is another, it's done specifically to work on certain parts of your body. Like this workout music has certain frequencies in it, which I put in. And then what I do, it's different than most people. Some of the songs I do, you can hear the frequency. Other songs, it's not meant for your ears to hear. It's meant for that organ of your body to hear. See, it's a little bit different, right? So, thank you for tuning in, if you are tuning in. We have 1 week left in the contest. That's next week. And so, as I said before last week, that... by now, you should know how to enter the contest. And we have had a few people entering. So, I mean, one of those people is going to win. And they're not only going to win my lifetime membership to my club, because I run a club, see? I do this for a living. I mean, I've done radio shows for a living, and I'm a consultant for a living. I help people for a living. So a long time ago, people would call me up on the phone. I heard you somewhere, and I want you. I need your help. And where do you live? Well, I live over here. Well, I don't go there. In lots of places, I don't even go to. And lots of times, I don't go to anywhere because I charge $250 an hour. See, for my time, and I don't do. That's only for consultation. When I go out and do my services, I don't charge by the hour anymore. It's charged by the job. I have a specific thing that I do. And one of these coming shows, let's see, which one? Oh, so February. Yeah. So February is called It's Alive. It's Alive. And it's all about the soil. And so one of the things I will be explaining to you that month is exactly what it is that I do when I go out and do people's places. Like right now, just finished talking with a nice lady who came up with this idea, which is not a unique idea, but nevertheless is a good idea, is to... reseed all the burnt areas with native grasses, native flowers, native plants. I told her that's a good idea. You have to basically talk to the parks and recreation people, to the city. They'll get upset if you start throwing seeds all over the place. Trust me, I know, because I did it a few times for customers, and I still do it with one customer in Malibu. She lives right at the ocean there in this Malibu Road, and right behind it, the city owns this property, and then there's the park and stuff like that. And the city says you can go ahead and do whatever you want to as long as it complies with our rules and regulation about taking care of property and take care of it. So what I've been doing for years is I've been going out there, and 1 year I did like 20 pounds of California poppies. They're the orange, those orange varieties. It was about $500, okay? not an easy thing to do, but I did it. And what happened was I got the customer to pay for it. The customer there, I said, this is what I want to do, and it'll cost $500 for the seeds, but I'll sprinkle the seeds out throughout the year, because that's what I do, is I don't spread it all one time. I spread it throughout the years, because California natives will grow year-round if you do it right. And so every year I've been doing something a little different across the street in terms of, you know, just throwing the seeds around, getting her to put it up, the money, and there are a couple other customers in other areas, which I'm going to basically tell them, look, you live right next door to a burn area. Why don't we just sprinkle native grasses or native seeds out there and let it bloom, let it grow? Ideally, it should have been done already, even though we had some really serious hard rains, which basically would have washed the seeds into a certain area, which is okay too, because then, you know, that area would look really beautiful, right? That area would look amazing that had the that you had thrown the seeds in. But now I forgot what I was talking about. See, you know, so I was talking about soil microbial and one of the things I do. You know, and one of the things ideally you want to do to this burnt out areas after. See, normally when you have a fire, it's normal. Fires are normal in nature. It's been going on as long as man's been around and before that, right? And that's one of the ways that Mother Nature returns things to the soil. And the important thing that nature does when it has a fire, oh, this is my voice. I hear an echo. I'm not sure if I hear an echo or it's just my brain echoes. I think it's just my brain. You know, because when you tap my forehead, I hear echoes. I go, what's this? It's an echo, you know, it's kind of weird echo. I don't know what's going on. I try to. Yeah, the man's crazy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's lost it. Hang on, there you go, watch this. Oh my God, that's my head. Yeah, that's my head. Oh. See? Told you, it's just hollow up there. Anyway, so in February we talked about soil microbial life. I'll talk to you about what I've been doing all the years, how I have been treating the soil, and why it's so important. By the way, I recently wrote I write a column, and I was doing it once a week, and now I'm doing it twice a week, and you can get it through on miswillgardner.com/blog. And I also posted in a couple other places. It depends if you're in LinkedIn or if you're in the Academy of Sciences. I write for them. I posted up there also, too. Anyway, the contest, to enter the contest, there's only one way that you can enter the contest. I have a little cough. One way you can enter the contest is to, the only way you can enter the contest is to, through my newsletter, there's an email that says, click here to enter the contest. And it brings up a form for you that's already done. It has the email, who to go to, the subject, and the body. You know, so it says, enter me in this month's contest. It gives the month date, the date of the month. I change it once a month. You can only win one contest. You can't win a contest a month. That's not fair. You can only win one contest, but you can enter every month, right, to see if you win. And so that's the only way you can enter, and you have to re-enter every month. So if you enter 1 month and you didn't win, you have to enter the next month. Now, the thing is about, entering is that I put out a newsletter once a week. So anytime during that time, during that month, you can click on the email, and it will get you, you know, bring up the, it will say, I'd like to enter the contest this month. And it'll have the month number. It goes into a certain folder at the end of the month or the beginning of the following month. I pick the winner. And it's going to be various different things that you'll win, because I'm in the process of getting some new Don't Panic, It's Organic t-shirts. So don't panic, it's organic hats. My biggest problem with the t-shirts and the hats and stuff like that is that one year I printed out, had, you know, ordered a whole bunch of t-shirts, and it was organic cotton, so it was cool. The problem was is that I was kind of like misled as to the ink that they were using, because they told me it was natural ink, and it wasn't. It was so bad to the point when you when I got the when it comes right, you wear it without washing it, you get itchy red. People will call me and say their skin was getting red. Where you know, because they would get, I had a black ones, you know, and yellow ones and green shirts, those colors, right? So I said, that's not a good idea. So now I'm having a problem, as I like to order some T-shirts. I mean, if it says don't panic, it's organic, it really should be organic, right? And you shouldn't have to panic about the inks in it too. So I haven't found an organic cotton T-shirt company that also does natural inks. I haven't found it because if I, it's either organic cotton or some other kind of inks that they use. You know, I'm going, ugh. And I'm not going to do the shirt or the hat if it's not. Now, I may have to do is to order the stuff and run it through the laundry a couple of times, which will remove the toxins. So I guess you can say it's pre-washed, but I haven't decided to do that yet. And I've been trying to find local companies. So if you guys, somebody out there has a T-shirt company that would do organic cotton, right? And the other thing is it could be hemp. I love it if it was a hemp T-shirt, right? And some type of natural dye, you know, whether it be some food coloring or whether it be from vegetables or flowers or right. That's a good idea. See, so contact me because I would. I'm really. That's the only thing that I'm having a problem with now is I really can't do that. But I have no problem with Don't Panic, It's Organic coffee mugs. I have one right here. It says Don't Panic, It's Organic. I don't know if I'm going to do Don't Panic, It's Organic mouse pads or it's gonna, there has to be some other things that you can that I can get that you're not going to eat. That's you know. Clean and it's organic all the way through, but I haven't really come up with them yet. So, you know, I'm looking. If you're a company that provides this stuff, hey, I would like to know about it. But other than that, what I do as for the contest is, of course, I give you the lifetime membership in the club. As I told you before, I run a club, and the club it used to be called Invisible Gardeners of America, right? Invisible Gardeners of America. But then the internet, because I started the club in 19, I was going to say 70, but 70 was when I got out of the service. That's when I started. I actually formed a church, and I'm an ordained minister, and that's how I started the Living Institute of Survival Technology, which is the school, and the Invisible Gardener teaches, practices what it teaches, that kind of stuff, okay? And the church is called Astro's Garden. So I started in 1970, but I didn't start to do what I've been doing. I did, well, let's see. The radio show started in probably 1972. Started doing the radio show. So around that time is when people started, because I had the club already. When I got, let's see, 72. So I think when I started doing the radio show, at that time I didn't have. I wasn't part. I didn't. Run a club, or I wasn't involved in anything like that. But as the radio show took off and more people were listening to it, they wanted my advice and stuff, I started a club, Invisible Gardeners of America. And then I also started my own organic gardening club. I think it was 1974 or something like that. Or no, 75, 76, 77, 78. Something in there. It was because I moved to Miami, Florida, and I started the Organic Gardening Club of Miami. Anyway, that's so. I eventually, you know, I explained it before that I was really doing a bulletin board system. Basically, when the computer came out, I was using a Commodore 64, which allowed me to have other people to connect with me. They basically would call me on different phone lines, and then we all can talk together, or they can access the information. And that has to de that developed eventually when the internet expanded. And you have the internet, a different system of people communicating with each other through their websites and stuff like that. So I changed from Club Invisible Gardeners of America to Club IG because I saw Club Med. I went, well, this is Club Invisible Gardeners, so it's called Club IG. Right. So I run the club, and that's how you can get information from me. The other way people do is they listen to the radio show. You don't have to join. You don't have to do anything. You can just send me email with your questions, or you can even call. A lot of people don't like calling, being on the air, even though, nobody sees them, right? I mean, I'm totally naked right now doing my show. It's kind of cool. A little breezy here, but no, nobody knows, I used to try to do it in the hot tub, but the bubbling water is too noisy. You have to turn it off, and then I dropped the mic a couple of times or whatever into the hot water, and that's the end of the show. So now I don't do it in the hot tub. I might though. As I was telling Deborah, hi Deborah, I hope you might be listening. There's actually a show called The Naked Gardener, so I can't do that one now. Anyway, so. Today's show. So if you should know what numbers to call and how to get a hold of me by now. You should know that what my email is, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com, if you just want to send email. I prefer if you go to my website and there's an inquiry. So if you have a question, it's much easier if you click up for me anyway, because I get so much email that it takes me forever to find you. If it comes out of the woods, you ask, send me email. Just yesterday, I had 1,800 emails, and I haven't even gone through most of them yet. After a while, you go, I can't look at another email. So I just try to look at the titles, and try to figure out if it's somebody asking for help or something, a radio show. And so I set a rule on my Mac and on my PC. If something comes from anybody that says radio show as a subject, put it in that box. So that's one way you could do it. But the easiest way for me is if you go to my website and you click on inquiry, and in the inquiry, you fill out your information and all that stuff. You say, Andy, this is your radio show. I have this question. And then I know it all, I automatically get it separated from everything else. And I usually don't email you back. I will talk about it on the radio show. If you want to enter the contest, right? All you have to really do is sign up for the newsletter. And in the newsletter, there's an email button that you click on. It has my email on it, which is already filled out for you. So that's the easiest thing to do. Once a week, you get the newsletter. You want to enter the contest, you click on that. Automatically says, I would like to enter the contest. But you need to sign up for the newsletter in order to get it. See what I mean? Otherwise, every month it's up to you if you remember to enter the contest or not. Okay? So you get a lifetime membership in my club. It's normally $55. So that's a good deal. You also get the printed version of my book, the black and white version of my book, and also, well, I do. Wait a second. You get the color version of my book. That's normally $100. Right now, it's on sale for $55, but it'll go back to $100. Not available in any store or anywhere other than through me. And the only real way I'm letting it out is through the contest. You get the color version of the book. You can buy okay, so you can buy it for $55 up on my website plus shipping. I think it's $24.95 for shipping, or maybe I could send it up book rate. Book rate is $7, I think. Not sure. But if you win, you also get the black and white version. I suggest you put the color version away. Maybe put it in a separate case, cover it. Put a covering over it. Handle it with care. It's a special edition, limited edition that you can eventually, you will love it to have it down the road. The artist is my daughter-in-law, Cindy, amazing artist, so she's going to be worth trillions of dollars and so will her artwork. And I don't know about me, okay? What is that? Anyway, so you'll get two books, right? You get two books, the color version and the black and white version. Use the black and white version. This is my 20-something book, and the second book I wrote was natural pest control alternatives to chemicals for the home and garden, and people just destroyed that book in the process of using it. Right, you use it every day, write on it, all kinds of stuff. Next, it's just, I destroyed one of my versions just by using it. Right, so you can use that one, and then if you need to buy another one, you can always get it from me, or the book is available any place books is available from Amazon or from Barnes and Noble, any place like that. You can order it. You can order from me if you want to. I prefer you order from all those other places because that helps for book sales. I don't mind people buying it from me, but it's much better if you bought it from Barnes and Noble or from Amazon. I also sell the ebook version of it. You also get that too as part of the membership. So you'll get access to all those books you can download. You get access to a members-only section of the website. This radio show, it's broadcast in several different ways. It's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's the longest radio show I've been doing. I started it, as I told you, I started doing the radio show in 1972. I actually was doing a radio show before that, Armed Forces Radio Network. That doesn't count as my radio show, though, but it is kind of my radio show. So I've been doing it for a long, long time. So what happens is that I finally settled down here on bbsradio.com. I've been going through lots of different online radio shows because before I used to drive to the studio and pay $1,500 an hour. And this way it's infinitely cheaper. It's a lot better for the environment, and I can do it in my underwear. Big difference, see? I'm just kidding about it. I don't use the underwear. But so I can do it. So I like this show, this station, because it allows people to call in. The other stations that I had, people, it was only podcast. Like we do it on iTunes, it was only podcast. Or if I did the Live 365, only podcast. I'm still doing TalkShoe because that's the one that iTunes is plugged into. You can't call, but you have to download a special software and this whole thing, and they want you to chat and all kinds of stuff. And I really can't do, I can't chat and talk to you and do everything at the same time. So anyway, I like this one because it allows people to call in and talk to me, because that's the whole key to my show, is to communicate with you people out there and help you out. You don't have to pay a penny for my knowledge, and here I am. So that's the contest, and I give one of them away every month. And so the best way is to go up to invisiblegardener.com, click on a newsletter, fill out the information, and make sure you click on a contest section, or you can say it somewhere in the comment, please enter me in the contest. You'll get entered in that contest, and then you'll be getting the newsletter, because you will get automatically subscribed to the newsletter. And then if you join, then you'll get a whole bunch of stuff back as a member. You get a newsletter right away that says, this is your membership, this is how you get access to stuff, this is how you subscribe to the podcast. Because as a member, you get my members-only podcast, which basically is, I was saying, this show, Don't Panic, It's Organic, it's just one of five other shows I do. I have another show called What's in Your Garden, right? I have another show that's called Inner Gardening Music. I have another show called The Body and the Garden, right? I have another show called WTF. It means What the Frack, you dirty people, right? So this... How many shows is that? I forget. Those are all shows. And so as a member, when I do any... Oh, I'll have one other show, which basically has to do with when I'm a guest. So I'm a guest a lot on other stations, which then allows me to... they send me the copy of the show, which then I rebroadcast to those folks. The Inner Gardening Music used to be $2 a month for the podcast. It's now free. I have about almost 1,000 followers for my music, and I can send them email, you know, and I said, hey, guys, how come nobody wants to buy my music? I got a bunch of email back, says, well, because we listen to it for free. Nowadays, nobody buys stuff unless it's really something, you know, you can't hear anywhere. So I can hear your stuff lots of places, like on SoundCloud, you know, you can hear it for me. Django is another place you can hear it. You can hear on Spotify. You can hear my music there. Amazon Music, you name it, it's probably up there. I have about 600 songs, so I'm not posting everything up there because they're for. I usually post them up for sale for 99 cents. See, and then they also get distributed for free in a lot of other places, so which generates supposed to generate the sales. Anyway, if you want to call and you don't know the number, you can always call directly to Skype, which is BBS Radio PR, and talk through Skype. That's one way we can do it. Let's see, what happened to the, there it is. Ah, yeah. I'm going to move this one over there and put this, you know, somebody said something, call start. Gee whiz, no, I'm missing anything. I'm not missing anything, am I? Good. Just checking. So BBS Radio PR, so you can talk through Skype. Also, you can want to call me and talk to me. It's a toll-free number, which is 888-627-6008. That's a toll-free number. That's a direct line, which is 323-744-4831. That's a direct line. Pretty soon, I think when the guys are ready, we're going to switch over to video streaming. But as you know, everybody seems to have gone through a big fire thing recently, so we're all getting our stuff together. And so we'll see what happens down the road. So today I'm talking about continuing the talk on about the refractometer, okay, and how what an issue. Let's see what happened to that one. I'm looking for. I had a file open already. That's one of the problems when you close a window and you go back to computers. It's fine. You just close that. I'm not going to show it to you. Really. Anyway, so last week I explained a little bit of the history of the refractometer, where it comes from. Something about I explained about bricks. I tried to explain to you the type of refractometer you want to get. You know, to use. There are many on the market now that you can get, and there are various different expense, right? I have one that's $10,000. I have one that's $35,000. So they both give me the basic same reading. There's not that much difference between the two. Throughout my years of doing this, I'm trying to, you know, for example, you know, I've learned if you stick your hand in fire, you're going to burn yourself. So rather than letting you stick your hand in the fire and burn yourself, I would like to say, well, you know, if you stick your hand in fire, you're going to burn yourself. And, you know, there's one way to find out, right? But, you know, I would suggest you don't. And essentially what I'm doing that is in the garden, in the gardening world, in my learning, in my experience of why things happen in the gardening world. And it's very similar to why they happen in the medical world. Okay. So I was talking before about minerals, and I was talking about minerals, you know, a lot of about the mineralization of the soil and what that process is and what that has to do with, well, you know, I talk a lot about the fact that the healthier the soil, the healthier everything else is going to be, the healthier the plants are going to be, the healthier the animals are going to be. They eat the plant, they eat healthier are other animals, they eat the animals. The healthier are the humans, they eat the animals, they eat the plants. See what I'm saying? And so it's a no-brainer to me because of that connection. But I seem to be running into humans that do not believe that there is a connection, that they don't seem to understand that you can take, simply by taking a fertilizer, which is supposed to be really good, right? It's supposed to be like you fertilize your plants, right? Right? That's what you're supposed to be doing, fertilizing your plants. So what's the deal? You got to fertilize your plant. How else you fertilize stuff if you don't put it in the soil, right? Which is the thinking, right? The thinking. And so what they're really saying is that I understand that I need to do something to the soil or to this plant. Because it's not getting, it needs to be fed, how you feed something. The problem lies in the fact that we have been brainwashed to, when we, instead of saying feed something, we say fertilize something. And so when we say fertilize something, we really mean fertilize something, right? Not, you know, there's no difference between fertilization and feeding. To me, there is a, and even then, fertilizing, okay? So, but people, it depends, I suppose, what kind of training you have. When I hear fertilizing, fertilization, I automatically think about organic fertilization. I automatically think about the whole process of how you end up eating, right? You know, it really comes down to cooking, right? How do you cook? And when you cook, like lately I've been the cook house, the cook in the house too. My wife used to cook, but she's in the process of, you know, growing old. And I've taken advantage. I'm helping her out by cooking. And so the cooking process is a unique thing, right? How you put stuff together. But the real key to the cooking process is the health and quality, the nutritional value of the food. That's why we're eating stuff. We're eating stuff to get the nutrition from it. And to me, nutrition basically comes back down against the trace minerals. You can't eat the rocks. You can't eat copper. You can't eat iron. You can't eat magnesium. Over 96 different trace minerals you need. You just can't eat those. You have to eat something else that has it in it. So that's the way it is through the chain. That's why we have a chain of life. It took a long time for this to settle down to where it works. So the fertilization process that other people think when they watch TV, they instantly think, well, I have to go to the store and buy this fertilizer. Whether I'm not going to give them a free advertising of the name, but it starts to MG. Okay, let's see the two first letters of it, or whatever other chemical fertilizers out there. You go to a nursery because I need to fertilize my fruit trees or fertilize the lawn. And guess what? Oh, yeah, here's this stuff over here. This is a weed and feed. This has got some stuff in it because you got to have this, the weed and feed in it because the weed control because, you know, that's part of nature. That's part of the setup. So you got to have the whatever else the lawn. So we decided to just put the fertilizer in it. Together, you just do both things and you will have a nice lawn or a fruit tree or whatever it is, you know. And that's the way we've been taught. We've been brainwashed to go get this stuff and sprinkle it on the soil, and there you go. That's all you need, right? And you see it every day on TV, or you hear it, or you read about it. You know, buy this, and you'll have this. It'll look this way, or use this, and it'll look that way. And in a certain way, it's kind of like logical. You say, well, that's okay, cool. That we gotta fertilize the plant. We gotta give the food to the tree and stuff like that, right? But if you look at the mirror world of the human body in the garden, that's why I have a show called The Body in the Garden. Because I realized a long time ago there is like a mirror. You see, you know, what happens here happens there. The same thing. The microorganism in our stomach evolved from the microorganism in the soil. So of course there's a similarity to their function and how they work. The microorganisms in our stomach, their job is to take the nutrition that you eat, convert it into the minerals and the energy and everything you need to function. Ugh. And the scientists are saying now, well, you know, the real brain is in your stomach. It governs you, how you think, how you act, how you feel, what you know, what you don't know, what you do, all that stuff. It's in the stomach. And gee whiz, I say, well, yeah. Not only is it in the stomach, but it's in the soil. The key to human race, animals and birds and bees and everything surviving and doing their thing is in the soil. And, you know, I just read an article recently that basically said there are different types of microorganisms in various different types of soil. And the most active is by the ocean. Because things are constantly dying there, and microorganism, microbe activity. There's organisms in the ocean which are different than organisms in the soil. So you have different types of organisms all throughout the world, microorganisms, and they have a certain function of what they do. And if you think that eating junk food is going to help you out physically, help make you healthy, think again. That's why it's called junk food, right? We call it junk food, but in essence, it's not food at all. It's fake food. It's giving your body, you think you're eating, okay, so it's like as if you was a whale and you ate a whole bunch of plastic. That's junk food. You think you're eating good. Oh, your stomach is getting full and you die because you're a malnutrition. So you're eating fake food, food that doesn't have the nutrition in it, but it looks good on the surface. That's what happens when you give it the chemical fertilizer. That's what happens when you bypass a natural system. See? And so it's, the relationship are two are really amazing the way one works. If you want to heal your body, you got to heal your stomach. And you really have to heal what you put into it, which basically should come from the soil. See, so we one of the things that happen with animals and stuff like that is animals eat stuff from the soil. What does a cow eat? Hamburgers? No, they're eating the grass that comes from the... So we're getting... in essence, the reason why we eat the animal is because we think we're getting what the animal is giving to us in terms of nutrition, right? In terms of minerals and stuff like that. But in reality, the way that works, if you really look at it, all that cow is doing is eating that little bit of grass there. But and if it was a cow running around in nature, it would not be sitting there and eating that little bit of grass. It would be eating, you know, it's like having a wild herd of, whether it be what type of cattle, you know, longhorn, for example, or, okay, buffalo. So you remember the buffaloes used to roam up and down all over the place, right? They would eat stuff over here, poo-poo over there, die over here. So it, they would just exchange minerals all over the place, right? The problem with having that, this type of setup with cattle is that they're only going to eat, they're only going to get what you give them. Because there's nothing, if that grass is not organically grown, it's not going to be minerally rich anyway. See, the soil is like, you're constantly feeding and pushing it, and they're eating that grass. And then you're giving them more junk food to eat. So the food that, so their bodies and their meat and everything are not going to be the same thing as if you had an animal that was roaming around the countryside, roaming all, literally all over North America and had a wide range of food and was eating a wide range of trace minerals. And it's the same thing with humans. We're not eating the right health food. We're eating junk food. And it's the same thing with the trees. You're feeding the trees junk food. You're feeding the soil, you're feeding your roses, you're feeding everything junk food, and that junk food is killing the soil. On top of that, we just do things to the soil. The soil doesn't know what the heck that is. It doesn't know what formaldehyde is, all the chemicals we have created. And when we have a fire, there it is. The soil is toxic. It kills everything. It takes a long time for it to clear up and for the microbial life to come back. And it doesn't even have to happen because of a fire. Because normally in a fire in nature, things burn. Trees burn down to their carbon complex, which is what the soil needs. The soil needs carbon because the microbial life uses carbon to convert into carbonic acid, which then breaks down these minerals. And then when it breaks it down in a form. It's in a form that then can be absorbed through the root hairs of the trees and every single plant that grows, and that's how they get their trace minerals. They need the carbon. And usually you would get the carbon from lots of different ways, right? Carbon from the air. So that's one of the systems that Mother Nature set up. He says, well, we're going to be producing a lot of carbon, so we better have different ways of cleaning up the carbon. You know about the trees. Oxygen out. In carbon, out oxygen. In carbon, out oxygen, right? So you know about the trees, and that the ocean does that too, absorbs the carbon into the ocean, right? And the soil absorbs the carbon. It's a fancy name, which I really have a hard time pronouncing, since I don't have my teeth together, but it's called carbon sequestration, which basically, you know, see what I'm saying? sequestration. Oh, boy. It just means it takes it and puts it, stores it into the soil. You know what I mean? So, the fertilization is the key to it, and it's not really fertilizing. See, when people say, "Well, what do you mean by fertilization? What do you say you do not fertilize?" Because I tell people, I don't fertilize. What I do is I bring the soil back to life. By bringing the soil back to life, I mean is I reintroduce the microbial life that should be there. I reintroduce the trace minerals that normally would be there, dropped off by different animals and different things going on in nature. It's called remineralization. Put the two together, and you'll find that as the minerals, the microbes make the minerals available, everything else grows healthier and healthier. And you have to put back into, you help take care of the soil, because we damage the soil so much. That's one reason why we make compost. We don't make compost for recycling reasons. We make compost to help the soil, to patch up, to give it back to the soil. Yeah, it happens to be a benefit that we can recycle, but it's basically we give it back to the soil, put it back in the soil, and then we mulch it. Because normally in nature, you get it mulches itself, but us humans like to clean it up so crazy that any leaves that fall down, you ever wonder, leaves fall down from a tree and they break down, what do? You know, same thing with weeds. You know that what weeds do, their main job of weeds do, they bring up trace minerals. From the deep, they have deep roots. They bring up trace minerals from deep down in the soil, and they die. They fall apart and break down the trace minerals, bring it up to the surface. I used to give a walk in Putney, Vermont, and I can tell the pH of the soil by the weeds, and I can go to a person's property, and if I see certain types of weeds, I go, well, the pH is off because this is the pH for that. Plus, you can also tell what minerals are missing by the weeds, because if you know this weed brings up iron, you know that the soil is missing iron. Duh. Right? And that's one of the biodynamic systems, is to take plants that basically we know that what they go after, that's their job. They bring up iron or calcium or magnesium, whatever. We know what that plant does, because after a while you test it, you go, wow, this is really rich in this calcium stuff, right? See? And if you take that and you kind of mulch them together and form a poultice, you introduce the bacteria to it so they eat this product up. That's how you get a nice trace mineral blend or a biodynamic blend that you can use, see, to bring it back into the soil. I studied Rudolf Steiner's biodynamic system a long, long time ago when I first started doing my business, because these guys have been around for a long time. There are lots of different systems out there on how to get that trace minerals back into the soil. The one that I keyed into a long time ago was the use of mushrooms, and how mushrooms, mycelium, grow in the soil, and how mushrooms go in the mycelium. And I'm not just talking about psychedelic mushrooms, but I'm also talking about edible mushrooms, whether it be for food or whether it be mushrooms for medicine, right? Lots of, you know, but basically what I do is I start the process of growing mushrooms in people's properties, right? So they're what I call tree vents, but basically they're little colonizations that I start, little colonies. I get a clay drain pipe. Now, a clay drain pipe, it's also, it's really called a wine holder. I mean, in Malibu, they're called wine holders. They're really called clay drain pipes. They're about a foot and a half long, and they're also about 4 inches wide. What I mean by a foot and a half long, that's the normal way you buy it, but you can also buy it, they're 6 foot long, that you can put it into the ground, or you can cut it in different sizes, because they can also be used for drainage, which is what they're used for. This particular type of clay drain pipes happen to be paramagnetic. Paramagnetism is another subject I would love to talk to you about someday coming down the road, because paramagnetism is one of the ways that the soil and the earth works with minerals. And so if you look at the earth, you know that it has a magnetic field. And you see it has a north and south magnetic field. So in paramagnetism, you have a slightly different magnetic field, but it's very, very helpful for living things, because we have a magnetic field. We have a biological magnetic field. And when that magnetic field is interrupted, it inhibits our ability to be grounded. You ever wonder what the word grounding really means? If you look at a tree is grounded, but a tree may have roots in the ground, but it's not really grounded if it doesn't have the trace minerals. The minerals is what grounds it, okay? The minerals is what grounds it. And I can explain to you the real, on one level you will say, well, the minerals, we need the minerals to make our body work, you know, to make our muscles work and to make, the function of the body, right? But there's another function of the body that's more important than the physical structures of the body. And there's a real reason, and this is what I say, is that there's a real reason why we want the minerals. And one of the shows I do quite every once in a while is called Cosmic Gardening. And what we're trying to do is to harvest the cosmic energies, of the cosmic energy, right? The energies of the universe. And the way we harvest it, one of the things we need to understand is that we are bombarded with cosmic rays every second, every nanosecond, there's another there's a term for something shorter than a nanosecond. I've forgotten what it is, but it's, if you can look it up, it's another term for faster than it's nanoseconds, 1 billionth, so this other second is even faster, but it goes through in and out the earth in less than that nanosecond, faster than a nanosecond. And so what we have evolved, while all living things have evolved, is to a way to absorb that energy. We need that energy as a function of a living being. We don't have that energy, we were not going to be grounded, and our magnetism won't work, and our electromagnetism doesn't work. We have all kinds of other problems and troubles, and things happen. But what happens is, and make a long story short, and let me see something here. Hang on a second. Let's see, what am I doing? Okay, let's go. Let's do this and see what happens. As I said, it's basically a workout music. It's meant for you to exercise so that you have your body doing something, right? And then you have to, then the frequencies take care of the mind. Get your mind doing something. And then the other frequencies affect your brain, or they affect some other part of your body. Remember, we're talking about the electromagnetic field that you have. Well, electromagnetic fields are directly affected by these frequencies. One of the things I do is I've learned how to create hologram. And the hologram is a very, very important tool that we have for healing and for expanding our awareness and stuff like that. So we have, so here's the thing. Okay, so when a cosmic ray shoots through the earth, and if it happens to go through any of these minerals, right? Each mineral is a little different in how they absorb the rays and what they do. See, and that's what they do. They absorb the energy of the cosmic ray. The ray shoots through it and comes out the other side of the earth. But anything that it hits, where it has to be on the micro, on the let's see, there's a level which is even small versus very small. I'm not going to call it cosmic level, but it's a very small atomic level. It's an atomic level. So if it hits any of these particular electrons and neurons and so forth like that, it absorbs that energy. And then when we eat it, we are absorbing that energy. In a lot of cases, what happens is that there are places on the earth that absorb that energy. They're magical places because that energy given off, all living things love it and they go there. When I was giving a talk once in Fayetteville, Arkansas, I was talking about this stuff, and then another guy came on, Phil Callahan. Hi, Phil. University of Florida. He wrote Secret Places. He wrote Tuning into Nature, amongst other books. This is the one that comes up to mind. And he went across Europe, and in Europe, the book has a lot to do with ley lines. There are energy flows of energy. So just like in the body, you have acupuncture lines. You also have energy lines, how the energy travels in your body. The same thing with the soil, earth. And there are places where these energies cross. And these are very special places. A lot of times churches are built on it. Empires are, the cities are built on it. And other times they're so amazing in that nothing grows anywhere except right there. You know, you can see it. And one of the things he discovered, it's called Tower of Power, okay, is that a lot of these places, even from the air, you would see it was a green environment where everything else would be like brownish and it would be green. Cattle would go for miles just to go eat from there. People would say it's all kinds of magic stuff and blah, blah, blah. And it's been that way for centuries. But the reality is that what Phil found out is that those towers were essentially an argon accumulator that accumulated the energy. Argon is one term that was developed by, forget his name already, sorry, he called it argon, he developed a way to, he learned how to, that when the rays shoot through, how to absorb it and hold it and then give it off. And so Phil Galley have figured out that these towers of power they were really unusual tall towers, and they had a door, missing the door, but it had the entrance, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 feet up in the air. And they thought, well, it's obviously a way people would escape from the marauders of whoever was attacking them, whether it be Vikings or animals or whatever, right? Maybe for a flood. Maybe you go up in there and hide for the flood. But what Phil found out was that the inside was filled with crystals up to a certain level. The tower itself was made in a certain way. It was layered with organic and inorganic materials. And so the cosmic ray shoot through that, hit the crystals, will be absorbed by the crystals, and the layers of inorganic and organic materials in such a way would form a skin that would hold it and slowly radiate it out. And so, of course, all the way around us, everything grew really, really, really amazing, really, really well. And that's because the trace minerals, the easier for them to absorb the trace minerals, they would drink. The water would be magnetized. With this type of energy, you can drink, because that's one of the things about water. It will absorb this energy, and you will absorb it in your body because you're 99% water. So, the key, so the reason why we eat the trace minerals is to absorb this cosmic energy that we have evolved to live in, right? Everything has evolved. We live in a sea of cosmic energy, different types of energy. And some are kill us, and some are we evolved to have. We must have, otherwise we will die. So that's one of the reasons why we eat minerals. And the same thing with the trees. The trees is like an antenna. Unfortunately, if it's not grounded in the minerals, the antenna is not going to be receiving the energy that it needs to continue to function and grow. And as we evolved in a form that we no longer have roots, we are mobile. So our system is a little different than the tree to be grounded. That's why it's so good people stick their hands in the ground a lot, because they go, oh, yeah, right? And that's what to talk about being grounded. There are lots of ways you can ground yourself. And not having to be physically rooted to a tree, okay? So, in my experience, I've learned that the refractometer, because we're talking about the refractometer, is a tool, one of many different tools you can use to help you see and understand this whole business about minerals and this whole business about the soil and how what it is you have to do to the soil to help the soil function. Look, if you were to take all human beings from the planet away, it would take thousands of years for the Earth to recover. Hopefully, it would recover. Right now, we've gotten into such a mess. A recent article I wrote is that we are on a train going faster and faster with no brakes. There's a country music song that says, "We are on the road to nowhere," right? And it's like, if so, we're on a train going faster and faster, no brakes. What do you do there? You're sitting on the train, you just say, well, I'm going to jump off now, or I'm going to figure out a way to stop it, I'm going to steer it better. There's nothing we could do. We are on the train, and we're going to crash anytime soon. By soon, I mean the human race does not have a long time to live, and unfortunately, they're taking every other living creatures with them. Okay, so one of the articles I wrote was about, okay, so here's something else you need to understand. So we're going to go. After every, this is all about climate change and stuff like that, but after every global warming, there's an ice age. That is the natural cycle. That is the order of things. Okay, so the last ice age, no, excuse me, the last global warming was followed by an ice age. It was 500 years global warming and 500 year ice age. We just, during Washington time, that was the end of that ice age. There's a picture of George Washington going across the Delaware with big chunks of ice, right? There's all kinds of story about England and the amazing winter storms and winters that they have and stuff like that. And the ice age wasn't really such a massive ice age which took over the world, but it was definitely cold. It was definitely more snow, more ice everywhere, right? And I got a little up thing, like a checky thing. You know, I don't know what that means. Does that mean, is that good? Is that a thumbs up? Thumbs up. That was a 2-minute cue. Cool. 2-minute cue. Hey, 2-minute cue. Just what? Okay, well, I don't know. How am I supposed to know? Okay, I'm going to waste it. Anyway, so the... gee whiz. So the Earth is in big trouble because, you know, okay, so we go through ice age and global warming. If it was a small thing, no big deal. But what we're really talking about is a nuclear winter. If you have a nuclear plant, you have nuclear waste out there and it gets colder and colder and damages, the next thing you know, the leak, you got a problem. And you multiply that around the world, we got a problem. And we're taking every living creature with us. That's another story. I'm trying to balance everything out in terms of helping you be here now, but at the same time, it's just I feel like walking around with a sign, the end is near, you know, because the end is near. And you have to kind of just laugh about it and go, well, I guess the end is near. Yeah. So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. This is Andy Lopez. I don't want to scare people or anything, but we're going to have to eventually talk about this more. Coming up is a cosmic spaceship. I think we're still on track to do that. And we're going to play some of my songs. If you hear something you like, let me know. So we have a little bit of time left. I guess I shouldn't start with the music so soon, right? I just can't wait to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, you know. So next Saturday is the last Saturday of the month, last chance you have to join to enter the contest. Look, I would rather you just send me $55 and join. But entering the contest will allow you to win the membership. I also have a $20 digital version, which basically means you don't get the printed version. I do have all the ebook versions. Check out the website, invisiblegardener.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Let me know you listen to the show. Let me know what you think of the show. And I'm looking for a co-host. Deborah is, you know, her place got burned down, really shocked. She has a lot to do to recover. So I wish her well. But I'm looking for a co-host, somebody that can help me do the show. So we'll be back on again next week. I'll be talking about Soul Microbial. It's called the show because it's alive. I'll be doing it all month. Sooner or later, I'm going to start be able to talk to people about doing guest shows. But we'll see. I'm just going to keep doing this because that's what I love to do, you know. And so I think I'm not sure if we are done yet. go ahead. So we're ready. So we're closing now. And we'll be back. The cosmic spaceship will be right back.